Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles. Today we're going to talk about another chapter in my book, the new book I just released, The Visionary Brand, the success formula behind the world's most visionary brands. Again, it was a fortunate, and thank you for those who purchased the book and also gave me such great feedback on how you've been applying it on your day-to-day business. And just won the Reader's Favorite Award for Best Nonfiction Marketing Book, so we're very proud to announce that. And also on its release was an Amazon bestseller as well as it is today. So again, thank you for those who supported the book, the feedback we've gotten from the book. And also probably the most important is how you've been able to apply what I've put into the book to your day-to-day business, whether small or large. And I usually like to start out these podcasts. In this case, it's the Visionary Brand. I'm going to talk about what I call the power triad, the product, marketing, and sales triad, and how they work together in order to assure a brand continues to stay visionary, and how a brand utilizes this power triad in order to be generational. So I like love a quote from Steve. I always say Steve, but those that have known me know it's Steve Jobs. And Steve says, marketing is about values. It's a complicated and noisy world, and we won't get a chance to get people to remember much about us. So we have to be really clear about what we want them to know about us. And really what Steve is saying is it's incumbent on the brand to ensure that your community knows what you stand for, that those that follow you know what you stand for. So in order to do that, it's really driven by a vision. And that vision is really the bloodline, what I call this bloodline of the brand. And those that are in control of the future of that brand is what I classify as the power triad. It's not the leader of the brand. It's the people inside the brand that have been given the vision and told to execute that vision, not only from the idea stage, but the ideas, as I say, the ideas is only as good, or a concept is only as good as your ability to take it from page to marketplace. So a concept is really just an idea. And I often say, working with so many designers over the year and so many brands through myself personally, as well as with Liquid Mind, probably the most frustrating designers that I know of are concept car designers. Because so few, they're just, when I've been in the concept car showrooms of Lamborghini and Ferrari, it's just amazing to see these designs on the board and to not see these visions being realized. Now, I will tell you that Lamborghini and Ferrari come the closest to bringing this vision to reality. Others don't even come close. And what I'm referring to there is our traditional car brands. Why they even try to go with concepts is beyond me, because it just creates frustration with the design room. So when we look at this, it's really the bloodline of the brand. And the bloodline of the brand is not the ideas. It's the fact that you're bringing these ideas to reality in life and people use them on a day-to-day basis. So this quote from Steve rings very true today. You know, in our world today, we must provide value-anchored brand principles that trickle down to all of the team members and then also the community. And what I mean by that is that when we look at the internals of a brand, the culture, what I say, this culture of the brand, that the bloodline and the vision of the brand is driven by from the top, and this passion for the vision is driven through the team members of the brand, and the bloodline through products, through marketing, through what you say and what you do as a brand is driven internally. And externally, you're loyal followers, the community, are the ones that adopt the brand and build brand equity and brand loyalty. Loyalty to have lifetime customer value and loyalty to purchase whatever else is coming down the pipeline. So you want to make sure this trickle-down effect to the team members in the community is always consistent. It's always genuine. It's always authentic. It's really effectively, again, the bloodline. You know, the voices of this community communicate the brand and what you stand for in the world stage where few exist and even fewer thrive. And we all know the numbers. And we talk with startups and we talk with brand leaders of new startups, these entrepreneurial. And when I say entrepreneur, I'm going to again say, what do I define as an entrepreneur? It's not somebody who starts with $100 million and builds a $150 million company. That's just an incremental revenue growth with no risk. It's really someone that has everything at risk. An entrepreneur starts with nothing and makes something of value that others want to purchase. So there's a really different context, and obviously I'm very sensitive with that, having been one myself, having built an apparel company, ran it for 10 years, and then selling it to a VC. Very proud of that, but obviously faced a tremendous amount of barriers along the way, not to mention not the least of which is financial investment inside the company as well. So the context of what we talk about today and what we'll talk about with the Power Triad through the Visionary Brand book is I discuss this Power Triad. I say it's these three engines, you know, that keep a brand alive and thriving. You know, you really need to make sure that the communication between these three entities, product, marketing, and sales, run like an engine. And again, I brought up Lamborghini a little bit earlier, but I use this analogy in the book as well. And it's really a good visual analogy because you could say, hey, Lamborghini has this 12-cylinder monster, Murcielago, whatever it is. And imagine driving that on four cylinders. You have a performance problem, and you also have a problem with the brand itself. And so when you look at this Power Triad, if you're not working in unison with one another, you could say it's a 12-cylinder running on four cylinders. So you want to maximize the performance and the power and the brand in the Power Triad. Power Triad is really what, at the end of the day, drives a brand. It takes an idea to concept. It takes an idea to commercialization. It conveys that idea and the bloodline of the brand and what you stand for to the marketplace that it's eventually sold to them again and again and again along that supply and demand curve. And to become generational, you need to have product on the front end and product on the back end, but you need to be messaging consistently and authentically across that entire food chain. And those that don't do that are unsuccessful. Those that do it find generational success. So again, in my new book, I discuss the Power Triad, the three engines that drive, keep a brand alive, and keep it thriving. It's one thing to keep a brand alive, but to have it thrive is the difference between growth. One is growing, the other is static. So product, marketing, and sales. When they're working in unison with one another, these three engines create this, what I call this beautiful concerto. This concerto analogy could be the Lamborghini engine when you step on the gas. It just sounds beautiful. And as a result of this, they realize this ongoing success as they continue to grow the brand. So this, what I call in the book, this kind of Power Triad formula. There's really three elements to this formula. You know, element one is product, as the idea generator, the concept creator, the disruption machine, and vision realizer. They're really the ones that are the crazy ones, the ones that bring the ideas to the table, understand passionately what the brand stands for, and will not put anything in the marketplace that's a disconnect for the vision of the brand and what you stand for authentically. They're the ones that are the keeper of the keys of the brand equity. As soon as you put a bad product, it doesn't connect with the bloodline of the brand, it becomes a disconnect with your community. And loyalty is lost. More importantly, brand equity is lost because of lifetime customer value. And I say bad news spreads a lot faster than good news, unfortunately. But if you're a protector of the brand, that's what the product team does. They're the idea generators, concept creators, disrupting machines, and they're the vision realizers. A product and a concept is only as good as it is on paper until somebody realizes that vision of what it can be. Then that's the product team. And number two, element number two, is marketing. As the vision translator, the bloodline connector, and the bridge builder between product and sales in your community. They're the messenger of the brand. They're the keeper of the brand. The product team gives them what they expect the brand to be. They need to translate that vision to the marketplace and ensure that it connects into the veins of the brand bloodline. And building that bridge between product and sales, it's critical and integral that these three work together in unison, but in that path. As soon as you jump over each other, and let's just use an example, I'll just use a quick example, and I have this as a case study in the book, was back in the day when Under Armour was building football cleats. New category, obviously a great opportunity for Under Armour. And no doubt that it fit the bloodline of the brand. It fit the authentication of the brand. No doubt about that. But they weren't a footwear company at the time. They were an apparel company. And instead of allowing product to realize the vision of what the product could be, marketing had pushed too soon to bring it to market before ready. So the product was not ready, and then as a result, they lost trust, they lost brand equity that had to come about 8 to 10 years to recover from. They pulled every product off the shelf and redid it as a result of one misstep. And it really comes down to the power triad, is you need to have a flow of product to marketing to sales. In this case, it was marketing, product, sales. Marketing was driving the product commercialization machine, and product wasn't ready. So as a result, it was a miserable failure in the beginning. Eventually, Under Armour recovered, but that misstep set them back 8 to 10 years. So imagine when you have this power triad, the reason that I say it's so integral, and people look at it and go, well, that's a pretty simple formula. Yeah, it's a simple formula, but very few people follow the formula the way it should be driven inside their brands. So the product triad is led by product, or the power triad is led by product. It's supported by marketing and executed through sales. That's the formula, okay? And when you look at these are independent. Okay, and you'll hear these words from me as well, as interdependent, independent. In this case, they're independent, but they're interdependent on one another, only able to achieve success through a combined collaboration and respect for each other's specific skill sets. I mean, that's really important. You know, if they remained independent, refusing to follow the power triad formula, they fail. And that's why I mentioned this Under Armour example. You know, if they achieve interdependence, relying on each other and following the proven formula, I've seen it over and over again, having led so many product and marketing teams, it's just a beautiful flow between product, marketing, and sales, and brands succeed, like at Oakley, like at Nike, like at Adidas. You know, when you tell the story of a product that's evolved over time through an idea and translated through marketing and executed through sales, it's a beautiful formula for success. So the product team is traditionally the visionaries. You know, they're the crazy ones. You know, they provide the ideas and realize the vision. You know, I've seen so many times where I've been very, very protective of the product team and the brands that I've been with, as well as through Liquid Mind, when I work with brands, I'm very protective of the product team because I want to keep them in their silo. I don't want them to be influenced by the outside forces of what they should do versus what they can do with the brand. They know what the brand stands for. They know the vision of the brand. And if they go out to their customer, it's fine to go out there and see what the competitors are doing. But I traditionally will not put anybody's competitors' products on the table in front of the product team. I don't want them to be influenced by anything. I love the fact that they can adapt technologies and they can put it in our brand product. I just don't want them to be influenced by anything outside of that. That can be up to the marketing team. You know, they can go out and do the competitive analysis, whatever it may be. It's the product's job to either provide a vision for revolutionizing a product or disrupting a category altogether. It's the marketing team's job to position this thing the where it should be, as a breakaway product, which is disruptive and revolutionary, or as an incremental improvement. And along the supply and demand chain, you'll just see where you place your product. So the marketing team brings this reality to life, you know, giving it room to breathe. And I say room to breathe because we had this issue at Oakley, and Jim Gennard famously said in one of our meetings where he said, we're creating too many products. And so what Jim, who's the visionary that he is, said that you need to give the product time to breathe. And I always remember that from Jim, that giving the product time to breathe is imperative to success. You know, to put another product right behind it and find that you're not succeeding because of the fact that you didn't give the product time to breathe, it's a problem. So they need to give it room to breathe and bloodline to match the brand vision to the reality of a new idea, concept, disruption, or innovation. Okay, so really what marketing is doing is bringing this product that product team has created, bringing it to life to your community. So when you look at bringing this to life, I'm sure that you have many instances, and I use the Oakley example as an example, maybe where you put too many products into the pipeline. So without this breath of life, the understanding of the brand bloodline, the idea will never have life in your channel, category, or marketplace. And the concept will never see the light of day because there's either a disconnect between the bloodline or it's not authentic. Those are usually the two main reasons. Now, there's other ones, people will talk about it, but those are usually the main reasons. You know, each piece is integral and crucial to the product success and the brand's longevity. You know, so from product to marketing, then sales, the stepped formula, I say, and interdependence with one another is a formula for building a generational brand. Stick to it. When you put a product, don't be a one-hit wonder. Don't be a Sony Walkman. You may know they sold 200 million units, but I said this to me was a one-hit wonder that wasn't a brand that has generational success. They're a good brand, but not a great brand. So when you look at this generational brand concept, the power triad, you know, we look at finally, you know, once the idea and the vision have been realized, given life, and been aligned with the brand bloodline from idea to reality, then it's up to the sales team to execute the vision in the marketplace. That could be direct to consumer. It could be retail. It could be your stores, retail, whatever it is. But they bring that vision to the marketplace. But it's all been templated for them. You know, the sales team has been along for the ride during the evolution of the idea through concept and commercialization. What I say is sit in the back of the room and watch this thing take shape. Understand why we did it, when we did it, where we did it, and how we did it. And then eventually marketing breathing life into this idea and understanding these areas and now having these what I call weapons to achieve success in the marketplace. So one thing that you want to make sure as you're moving along this power triad is all three of the power triad pieces, product, marketing, and sales, even though there's a flow to each one, marketing needs to be involved with the evolution of the product and understanding of why, how, when, and where we're doing this. And so does sales. It's just the fact that sales can't jump over marketing and marketing can't jump over product. They can give some feedback, give comments on what they think, but at the end of the day, it's product's job to execute a vision. If they can't do it, move on to another team. But it's product's job. It's not marketing's job to build the product. It's not sales' job to build the product. They can give feedback, but the feedback is then incorporated into concepts that product team does and brings to the marketplace. And marketing translates that vision, and then sales executes that vision. So it's a really important concept to remember, this power triad, three pieces of the puzzle, and each piece is successful in building a long-term brand. So brands who don't follow a formula for the evolution of their brand don't have a passion for success. I just say that. I said, because if you're just shooting at a wall, don't have a plan, don't have any expectations for what the future vision looks like, you're just doing season to season, you're not a brand, you're just a commodity. You know, the passion for success is what visionaries build into their brands and why they are a brand. You know, as I say always, just because you say you're a brand doesn't mean you're a brand. A brand is an earned right. It is as much a culture as it is a product, a culture of authentication, a culture of building something consistently great. So it's an earned right. The culture is built through consistently excellent products, communicated through bloodline marketing, and sold to your select community, providing value beyond product. That's a key formula to success. So follow this power triad formula, building interdependence between each of these teams, product, marketing, and sales, following a consistent path to success, respecting this flow of what I call innovation, you know, and translating the brand bloodline and achieving revenue through select brand channels. And that's what many times leaders of brands will talk about. How do we build revenue? This is how you do it. This is a revenue engine and the ability for you to have long-term success. So I always say, stay true, stay authentic, be different, and be great. Enjoy the journey along the way. And once again, thank you for those who have supported the Visionary Chronicles podcast. Proud to say that in 2022 and 2023, we were voted number one global visionary podcast and also top 50 marketing podcast by FeedSpot. So thanks again for all the support out there, feedback that we're getting. And if you have someone or somebody you think we might want to interview for the Visionary Chronicles podcast, would make great story, we would appreciate it. And also leave any reviews or feedback for us as well. We would appreciate it. And also reach out to me if you have any questions or any suggestions at Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, at liquidmindsite, liquidmindsite.com. That's also my brand website, liquidmindsite, liquidmindsite.com. And you can reach me through the site as well. So again, thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to the next Visionary Chronicles podcast.